Hello, this is Patrick Shaw Stewart, and I'm going to read one of my blog articles called Predicting the Seasonality of COVID-19, and I start with some bullet points. 1. The seasonality of respiratory illness is not driven mainly by changes in the survival rate of the virus outside the body. If it were, respiratory illness would be rarer in the tropics than in the summer in temperate regions. 2. We need an explanation of seasonality that fits all the facts. 3. Seasonality seems to be a side effect of the natural temperature sensitivity of virtually all respiratory viruses. 4. COV2 may be less temperature sensitive than typical respiratory viruses, therefore less seasonal. 5. Experiments are needed. This has become a very important issue in the last few weeks because governments and health services want to know what to expect from COVID-19 over the summer and whether the virus is likely to return in the autumn. I've heard so much misleading and wrong information from scientists and commentators in the last few weeks that I'm not sure where to begin. For example, I heard an interview with an expert yesterday who said that viruses have very varied seasonality, with some, such as flu, being much more common in winter than summer, while others, such as polio, are much more common in summer. This is true, but it's ignoring a remarkable and clearly very important fact. Every respiratory illness, with one minor exception, is more common in winter than summer, often much more common. Polio is not a respiratory illness, it's spread by fecal contamination. The one exception is that Edgar Hope Simpson, an English doctor who focused on viral diseases, reported in 1981 that parainfluenza type 3, which is not a very common virus, was more active in the warmer 6 months of the year. This expert that I heard yesterday also said that temperature and humidity certainly correlate with influenza. What he's referring to is the observation that influenza is more common in, for example, the United States when the weather is cold and dry. This agrees with some lab studies, which found that influenza particles were more stable in cold, dry air. Another study, however, found the opposite effect. In any case, it's only part of the story. Although we take it for granted that, for example, in the UK, colds and flu become much rarer in the summer, many of us are less aware that influenza and almost all other common respiratory illnesses are present all the year round in the tropics at intermediate levels. For example, influenza and colds in general becomes much more widespread in Fortaleza, which is in northern Brazil, in the rainy season, the exact opposite of what you would expect from the explanation given by this expert and many others. Moreover, some other viruses, including the most common cold virus, which is rhinovirus, have been found to be less stable in dry conditions than in humid. This inconsistency and ambiguity is crying out for an explanation, and there are other things that we need to explain. 1. When viruses such as COVID jump between species, they tend to be extra virulent, in spite of not yet being well adapted to their new hosts. This implies that, over time, natural selection moderates the virulence of viruses. 2. Levels of colds and flu normally jump dramatically during and after cold weather snaps. 3. Many respiratory viruses, including some strains of coronavirus, are easier to isolate and grow better in the lab at around 33 centigrade than at body temperature. 4. Respiratory viruses in tissue cultures where conditions favour less viral activity tend to become temperature sensitive spontaneously, i.e. they become less active at higher temperatures, while those grown in conditions favouring rapid growth tend to lose temperature sensitivity spontaneously. 5. Several respiratory viruses have been found to possess biochemical switches that are operated by changes in temperature. For example, many strains of influenza have been shown to switch from generating their own proteins to generating new copies of their genetic material when the temperature fell from 39 centigrade to 33. I suggested in a review in Medical Hypotheses, which was published in 2016, and there's a reference and a link given in my blog, that all these observations can be explained by a simple idea, that most respiratory viruses use temperature to moderate their activity, meaning that they are most active below normal body temperature. This gives the virus two important advantages. First, since the nose and throat are some of the coldest parts of the body, it's less likely to spread down into the warmer lungs and then to the heart, brain, etc. This means that the host keeps moving around, thus spreading the virus. Secondly, the virus has a built-in transmission mechanism. By staying in the nose and throat and irritating the cells there, it causes coughing, sneezing, and runny noses. All three of these symptoms can help it to spread to other hosts. I wrote an explanation of this for the layperson and explained some of the problems with the other explanations of seasonality a few years ago. And if you click on the link in my blog, you'll find an explanation called Every Winter Colds and Flu Increase. So, what can we conclude about COVID? Since it's caused by a respiratory virus, we can guess that it has at least some temperature sensitivity, with more viral activity below normal body temperature. We can also see that it quite often infects only the nose and throat, which also suggests temperature sensitivity. On the other hand, it may not have been a respiratory virus for very long, and it often infects the lungs as well as or instead of the throat. This suggests less temperature sensitivity than is typical for respiratory viruses. So we might expect COVID to become a bit rarer in the summer, but probably not to disappear almost completely like influenza and other illnesses, and to make a comeback in the fall when the temperature drops. If my explanation that viral temperature sensitivity drives seasonality is correct, it follows that viruses adapt, often in a few months, to their local environment, because we see almost the same set of common respiratory viruses all over the world. We know that influenza strains move quite freely around the world, and the same is probably true of other viruses. One conclusion is that it's essential that we don't allow virulent strains, which might arise within one patient, to be released from institutions such as hospitals into the general population. See the link below about the trade-off model for more information. What we need here are some simple lab experiments, if any virologist can be persuaded to look at the problem. For example, we can look at the effect of growing the virus in the lab at different temperatures and of temperature changes, both upwards, for example 33 degrees centigrade to 37, and downwards, for example 37 to 33. This should eventually include looking at all the steps in the life cycle of the virus, including binding to the cell surface, entering the cell, moving around the cell, making protein, making genetic material, assembly, moving to the surface of the cell, and leaving the cell. So we don't yet know whether COVID-19 will show strong seasonality, but we can have a very good idea of where we should look.